We have more of Lake Effect now. I'm Bonnie North. It's great to have you with us. Nadia Salerno-Sonnenberg is one of the world's most celebrated violinists. Her solo performances are electrifying. She combines supreme artistry and musicality with both precision and fearlessness. She dives deeply into the music and takes her audiences along with her on that journey. Milwaukee has been lucky to have had Miss Salerno-Sonnenberg perform here a number of times in the past, and she returns to Eline Hall tonight and tomorrow to perform Brooks' Violin Concerto No. 1 in G minor with the Milwaukee Symphony under the baton of Maestro Edo DeVart. Salerno-Sonnenberg stopped by after rehearsal yesterday to talk with us about playing the Bruch and about making music in general. She joins me in the studio now. Nadia, welcome to Lake Effect. It is such a pleasure to have you here and to meet you.
Thank you.
And welcome to Milwaukee. I know you've been here before.
Yeah, but it's really terrific to be back.
So how is it feeling? How are rehearsals feeling?
Rehearsal went phenomenally today. Orchestra sounds better than I can ever remember them sounding, and it's just a joy to work with Edo again. It's been a while, so.
And you've worked with him on this piece.
Yes, I played this piece with him in Rotterdam and in Minneapolis, and we recorded it. We recorded the Bruch and the Brahms Violin Concerto when he was music director in Minnesota.
So what do you think is different about the orchestra now? Why do you think they sound so much better?
They sound grand. Always a good orchestra, you know. I think it might be the addition of Edo. I'm just guessing here, but there is a sort of attitude change that I have seen with the musicians, a kind of confirmation that they now have a music director worthy. You sort of can feel the pride in the players, and they're just sounding just really quite grand. And today during the rehearsal, I was also really pleased to see how fast the reactions were to dynamics and different tempo changes and things like that. This must be a kind of discipline that Edo is bringing.
I find that interesting because, you know, the sound is still sort of romantic and grand, mm-hmm. but obviously since you've played here so many times, you have a very different perspective.
Yeah, I do. And I've played so many different types of repertoire too. During many different music directors, you know, I'm quite old now, so I've been here. But what I feel is a kind of serene confidence in the musicians that I don't ever remember feeling or seeing or witnessing before. And they sound just spectacular.
Are there any particular challenges in the Bruch that you feel that people have to watch out for? Not just you, the soloist, but the orchestra as well.
The Bruch is a standard rep violin concerto. And I think with any standard rep, you know, they get played an awful lot. And so the challenge would be to keep it fresh. For me, thankfully, this has never been a real problem for me, especially with certain repertoire. You know, I just played Mendelssohn Concerto last week, and that's certainly standard. Both these pieces, I think, really stand the test of time. And so I find myself learning every time I play them. Corny as that sounds, I actually do hear things that I had not heard before in these concertos. So for me, it's a piece I've always loved playing, and I've played it for decades. And it has a little special meaning for me bringing it back here to Milwaukee and playing it with Edo because of our recording so many years ago.
You know? Right. It's just such a gorgeous piece on top of it.
It's
so lyrical.
It is. And it's arguably the most beautiful second moment in the whole repertoire, violin repertoire. It's a gorgeous piece.
And one of the things you've taken on in the last few years is the directorship of the New Century Ensemble. Mm-hmm. And what does that give you as a performer that you don't get doing what you're doing here with the Milwaukee Symphony?
I don't even know where to begin. That job as music director, I never considered being a music director. And I played with them. They kind of infected me. I couldn't shake them off. You know, long story short, we worked it out. They worked their end. I worked my end so that we could come together and I could be their music director. And I'm now in my fifth season. Musically, as a soloist, you have an enormous amount of freedom, which is wonderful for a player who has a great imagination. And a dotted eighth note is whatever you want it to be. And the odder, the better. The point of a soloist is to solo and to stand out. But then being a music director of this orchestra, which is conductorless, so I lead it from the concertmaster chair. You know, the discipline now is very, very different. A dotted eighth note is exactly that. And I can't mess around with that. So my challenge with them musically is to lead but blend. So they're all attached to me every second of the entire performance. And I must inspire, push, pull, and do whatever I feel is necessary, but sound not stick out at all because I am a member of the first violin section. So that, for me, is the challenge. Working with them has been just extraordinary for me. It's a real gift in my musical life.
And how does it feed back into the solo, or does it?
It doesn't.
It's very separate.
It really is. My career about, I guess about 15 years ago, started to take off in so many different directions, you know, between the kind of music I was playing, the people I was working with, repertoire completely outside the realm of what I had known my whole life, taking on the responsibility of starting a record label, sustaining the solo career as it is, the meat and potatoes, and then taking on a music directorship. One season for me is so varied and inwardly an effect from one to the next. But for me, it's just take the hat off, put another one on. And that, it's quite fun. I mean, it's not, my life is not boring.
I wouldn't think so. And going back to the conductorless idea with New Century, I mean, Orpheus did that, you know, 20, 30 years ago, and it became popular for a while. I would imagine it's very difficult to do that. Why put yourself to that task and not have a conductor?
Yeah, why indeed? A musician plays differently if there's no guide there. So one has to take on so much more responsibility than any member of the Milwaukee Symphony or any symphonic orchestra. There's nobody up there beating time. So for one thing, you really have to be very responsible for your part. But because there isn't this visual leader there, although I am quite visual and do what I can, you know, you must rely on each other. So musicians that are clear across the stage in backstands are communicating with each other visually. We all have to do that. So there's more stake in the performance. And as far as how we get to the performance, you know, the rehearsal process is very democratic, a little too democratic. Everybody also has a responsibility and a stake in how the piece is going to be performed. And if we decide, okay, we're going to do this, then we have to decide how do we get to that goal. It's a beautiful, lovely process if you have somebody in the leader position that can keep it organized, because people do tend to like to hear their own voices. That's also part of my job, is to let them say and talk about how they feel, because these are wonderful individual musicians that bring something very unique, each and every one of them. But then also be very disciplined about the rehearsal process, because I refuse to have my orchestra walk on stage and play a performance that they don't feel completely confident and comfortable. And that comes from just playing and playing and playing. So our rehearsal process is a mixture of learning and discipline, as far as I'm concerned. But when we walk on stage to play, it's magic every single time.
And I imagine that it's a very fine line that you have to walk to both be the leader but not be the conductor.
Right. And also I'm quite close with them. I'll tell you something interesting. When I was thinking about taking this job on, I asked every music director I knew, which is a lot. And I got a lot of different really sage advice. But the one comment that every single one of them made unanimously was, don't get too friendly with your orchestra. And it is exactly what I didn't do. It's the one piece of advice I completely ignored. And it's, you know, it's a small orchestra. It's string orchestra, so we're 19 of us. And because of the intimacy of that, it's kind of natural that you're going to, you know, get to know each other. But they're just spectacular people, and it was impossible for me not to, and I wanted to. So then there's that also. You know, everybody comes to you with their, I want this, and I was thinking about that, and da, 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 you know?
And this person isn't doing,
right.
and that person isn't.
Yeah. And I'm going to be late, and I have to get a babysitter, and, you know, this kind of thing. So, but it's bad in that sense, but on the other hand of that very same coin, I can just look at them with my eyes, and they'll come with me, because there's a love there. And an enormous amount of trust. It's not just a respect, because we all respect each other, but we are very close.
I think that all ensembles benefit from that when there's something about that very human connection that you have that's separate from music, that you just really like each other,
yeah.
That comes out in the music. I mean, like you say, you're all technically wonderful and you're all fabulous musicians. And everybody can probably play together, but it's whether it makes that magic.
Right. Right. And everybody needs inspiration. I mean, every musician in the world loves inspiration. No matter how jaded, how you could be an orchestra member for 40, 50 years. If a conductor comes up or a soloist comes into the hall and inspires you, affects you, makes you feel something, every musician will gravitate to that. And I think that my orchestra feels that way about me. So,
what about you? What inspires you these days?
Just staying healthy. No, I am so lucky. I really am. By no grand plan, my life came to a place of such variety and challenge, constant. So nothing gets old for me. For me, it's a gift. It really is.
Yes, I would imagine that that is inspiration enough, mm-hmm. you know, to keep going and doing what you do.
Right. And do things that you never thought you would do. Just the repertoire that I have to play with New Century is nothing I have ever played before. They've all played the stuff, a lot of it. And then I program really vivid music. But mostly I have to learn the rep because, I mean, I'm not an orchestral musician, so I don't know the rep. It never stops for me learning rep. Never, ever stops. And we have a featured composer element to our season, and that composer we play existing works of that composer, and then we commission a work written for us. And it's more than often than not, it's a violin concerto. But it's wonderful because the string orchestra repertoire really is very small. It's frustrating. It's frustrating when you're trying to program a season. And so I'm very happy to be contributing to growing that repertoire.
How do you find audiences responding to new classical music? Because I talk to a lot of people who think, oh, it's all thorny and uncomfortable and I don't really feel it's approachable. It's all too intellectual. Mm-hmm. Do you find that people are responding that way?
I think that it's on a turn, a trend. I think two factors. Where are you talking about and who's the composer? There's a lot of thorny stuff out there that may not be entirely gratifying to play, and I guess not entirely gratifying to listen to. But there's an enormous amount of spectacular music being written by very vibrant composers and an audience that is really hungry for that. So I think it's pretty healthy, actually. I mean, I have gotten criticized for programming standard works, so I guess the Bay Area is ready for it anyway.
Well, certainly the larger cities probably have more audience who might be more comfortable.
You'd be surprised, though. It's not just you think, you know, the metropolitan cities. You certainly would expect that, but not always. Sometimes it's, you know, a little college town that just loves that repertoire. Please bring something unusual, you know. So it just depends where.
It has been such a pleasure having you here today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Nadja Solano-Sonnenberg performs the Bruch Violin Concerto No. 1 in G minor tonight and tomorrow with the Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra under the direction of Maestro Ado DeVart. There are links at wuwm.com/lakeeffect. We'll take one last break and then hear about a new documentary about a celebrated murder case and its aftermath. Lake Effect is back with that in just a moment on Milwaukee Public Radio.